What's up, everybody? I go by the name of Doggy Diamonds. You are now listening to No Filter Podcast. No filter means honesty. If you're afraid of honesty, then this ain't the podcast for you. We gonna be honest today. What it is, people, it's your boy Doggy Diamonds, another episode of Doggy Diamonds No Filter. Today I got a special guest with me tonight. Introduce yourself to the people.
I don't know where the special come in
at. You special.
Do I wear ride on a yellow bus or something like that?
Nah, you a special.
No, this is Big Gene. You Gene Deal from Raw Deal The Last Big Night, the Uncle Gene Show on YouTube.
What's the name of the cooking show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cooking and Conversation.
Cooking and Conversation. How long you been cooking? Well, you don't want to give your age away.
I don't care. All my life, man. Okay. Ever since, you know, since I was about 14, 15 years old, learning.
That probably got you a lot of chicks cooking, right?
No, what got me a lot of chicks was I played basketball.
Oh.
And my mother was the librarian, and she worked as the home ec instructor at the high school.
You know, home ec don't exist anymore, right?
Yeah, it don't exist.
Tell them what home ec is, though. That people need home ec.
Home ec is a class where they teach you how to cook, they teach you how to sew, they teach you how to do the normal and then not clean houses, clean things up. Just teach you how to take care of yourself and your household.
Yeah, it used to be called home economics. So, where you went to school at?
I went to college at the University. I finished at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga.
Mm.
Played with New York, Gerald Wilkins, who played for the New York Knicks.
Yeah. Dominique brother.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What he was on the Knicks, number 50?
He was number 21. Dominique.
That was Greg Anthony. So you talking about, y'all played in college together?
Yeah, college together.
Wow. What position you played?
Small forward.
How tall are you?
I was 6'7".
Damn, small forwards are, they like 6'9 now, right?
Yeah, 6'9, 6'10.
Yeah, because they changed the positions how, because point guards used to be like 6 feet.
Anywhere from 5'8 to 6'1. That's a big point guard. You had him at 6'1, 6'2.
And that's what made Magic so special.
Right.
Because he was 6'9 point guard.
Right. But what actually changed is the dimension, the body dimension of the NBA. You got guys in the NBA like, just look at the kid now that's from Duke.
Zion Williams.
Yeah. Look at his body structure. Yeah. His body structure is how the guys in the 80s and the 90s used to play.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get these forwards and things like that. They're about 2'10", 6'10", 6'11", 2'10", soaking wet.
Yeah.
They don't have that body structure like that. It used to be big back then. That's wide
like,
body.
That was the Kevin Durant's and them that came, and they was just mad lanky, right?
Right.
But they be playing power forward though. But they don't have the size. They don't got some Kevin McHale. You know, Kevin McHale's shoulders was on some.
Yeah, but you don't put body on them no more.
Yeah, gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? You got to remember back in the 80s, they was hand checking, and you could put the forearm on the guy and hold him down or play tight like that with him.
Was you good at in the game?
Well, listen, you could pull it up.
Oh, right?
I was all right.
Okay. What's the most points you scored in the game?
Most points I ever scored in the game was in college was 24.
Mm.
Yeah.
And was you the small forward? Was you the rebound, the small forward, or was you more like a passer?
They ran the play through me.
Got you.
So I did the rebound fast, and, you know.
Yeah.
Gerald Wilkins was a nut. You see how he played on the Knicks.
Yeah.
I'm going to the board to get the rebound.
Nine
times out of ten, he gonna hit or miss. You know what I'm saying?
I'm about to say I was cherry picking the whole time with him
too. Yeah,
no doubt. Yeah. So you play high school basketball. College basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Why you didn't go to the NBA?
Two reasons. My senior year, I got blackballed.
Okay.
If you Gene Bartow did an article saying I was probably one of the best unknown small forwards when we was playing against them in one of their tournaments.
Mm.
What happens is that everybody can't make it.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that if I would have went to the camps and did what I was started to do, I would have, but I was more interested in getting my degree. That was one. And two, I didn't have an interest to play ball after college that much. I was going to go overseas just for the you know, hell of it to say I went overseas and everything like that. So Jackie Knowles, he's a New York native. He was going to be my agent. And I was up there playing with Chris Washburn, the McRae's. We used to be on 181st and Park Avenue up in the Bronx. It called, it used to be Midnight Basketball with number pros and semi-pros and people who was going overseas. So they had me scheduled to go overseas, and then I tore my knee up. So I'm like, man, I don't want to do it. The doctor told me back then that if I continued to play basketball, I wouldn't be walking when I'm 50.
So now the type of injury that you had, if you had that injury now, they would clean
that
up.
Yeah, they would clean it up.
Because back then, the dude tore his Achilles, his career was over.
Right.
Even at one point, you know, baseball players, the Tommy John surgery, he was the first person to have that type of surgery on your arm. If you tore a ligament at one point, your career was over.
Correct.
You know, now they fixed. You ever did the record before?
Yeah, come on, man. I ran the we won the first Entertainers Classic at the Rucker. I played with the Cardiac Kids. That was it was a who was the guy? JR. It was me, JR, Trent. It was a couple of other people. We played with the Cardiac Kids, and we won the first Entertainers Classic.
That wasn't the EBC, right? Or that's the same thing?
Okay, let's try it again. We won the first Entertainers Classes. EBC.
Okay,
Entertainers
Basketball Classic. That's what I'm saying. I thought it was I had to figure it out, the EBC.
Yeah.
So did you lose your love for basketball as you grow, or do you still go out there every now and again and play?
No, I can't play. Not at all. It's wrestling, fighting, car accidents, and all that stuff like that.
It took a toll on me, man, like that. Got you. So
you know, he was in Sue's for 10 years.
You said you was what?
We was at Sue's Rendezvous for 10 years.
Oh, damn.
So
damn.
Enough said behind that.
Damn. So you didn't do the NBA thing. So when you graduated college and you're not going to the NBA, what did you want to do?
My aspiration was to basically write something that would change young guys' minds and young guys' thoughts and thinking about being in the ghetto and thinking that we don't have a chance. You know what I'm saying? You don't have a chance in life, which, you know, I prove that you do have a chance. It's what you put into it, no matter where you came from.
Because it was either basketball or entertainment, and you didn't take the basketball route, so you wanted to write a book. What you got your own degree in?
My degree in literature.
Okay.
Right.
So that means you could pen a whole book, poem, and all that other stuff.
Yeah, I can do some of that.
Yeah.
I've done that before.
Interesting. You put out any books yet?
No, I haven't put any down. I'm writing something right now.
Okay.
My life story, basically.
Okay, don't give them the title because people will be stealing, man. you give them a little one word of the title and they try to beat you to the title. Your life story, what's the highlight of your life so far?
Well, I think that people would say pulling Notorious Big out the car when he died is the highlight of my life. But I think the highlight of my life is raising a boy to be a man, a girl to be a woman, and have them go on and do and take care of themselves and be positive role models in the community.
Got you.
If you're talking about the entertainer side, I could tell you a story when I saved Dougie Fresh's life.
Wow.
Dougie Fresh wouldn't be here today.
Wow.
You know, things like that. It's a lot of things I could tell you that the people in the entertainment, the people who go to the YouTube, the people who go to the television could say, yo, that was a highlight of my life. But I just think that being, to have a dude, you know, a grown man sit in front of me and cry and tell me he changed his life and he can do different things now. He don't have to be in the drug game. He don't have to rob and steal and kill to support his family. That's a highlight of my life, brother.
You have, is there any part you feel like might was a low point in your life?
I think that to be accused of doing something that you know you didn't do, and the system could take your life from you when you know you're right and you're fighting the system. People think that, you know, I was a New York State parole officer for 27 years, and at one time I was accused of putting my gun to somebody's head, beating them, and then I had to go through the system as if I was a criminal, and this guy had a criminal record.
Wow.
You understand? So
a criminal accused you of being a criminal.
Right.
Wow.
But see, you got to realize, and I tell people this all the time, and that's why I tell a lot of the brothers who are law enforcement, they rather have one of us than to have 10 criminals.
Mm.
You get it?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was probably one of the lowest points in my life.
How long did you fight that situation?
I fought it for about 2 years.
Mm. Were you exonerated?
I was exonerated, completely exonerated.
So when you get exonerated and you get accused, what's the retribution? Like, you just say, okay, I'm good?
No, you can sue the person. Okay. You can sue the individual. What happens is they, the state will take you through that, but then they was like, it ain't our fault, but they didn't use every mechanism to fight you.
Mm.
You understand? They can exhaust all your income.
Yes, fighting. Yep.
Fighting them. They have, I looked over there and they had like 4 or 5 lawyers trying to get me.
Mm.
And I've given this guy all my money and some, you know, selling your jewelry, doing all the things.
So every time he gets adjourned, you got to pay him again.
Well, no, he had an upfront fee and then he get a fee at the end.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? Gotcha. So he had an upfront fee, but you got to realize is that I had one of those attorneys. He said, yo, listen here. We gonna have to do. I found out a lot of things that I didn't know because I had a great attorney.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like the cops were saying that there were nobody that could witness the crime being done, but the guy in the tow truck driver. My lawyer spent $800 for one picture.
Mm.
At the time they said the incident happened, because they had to give it up at discovery.
Mm.
He got a satellite photo from NASA.
Wow.
Of the parking lot where the incident happened at.
Mm.
You get it?
Yeah.
And it showed a lot of other people right there on the lot, and they didn't question nobody.
So, meaning if you didn't have the money and the resources, you might not be here telling this situation the way you're telling it.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a money game.
It's a money game.
And good lawyer.
Listen here, bro. Why, if you're going to say you want the truth, the symbol that represents the truth has a blindfold on it.
I'm talking about the scale, right?
Oh, justice.
Crazy.
She wears a blindfold.
Deep. Nah, you dropped that.
All right.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah, crazy. So, The guy who accused you still walking around, or like?
I guess.
Oh, okay. I mean, you never had another.
No, I had no other incidents. Okay. No, not at all.
No, I'm talking about you never saw the person again?
No, I haven't seen him.
Okay. Yeah, well, if you're a sucker. I'm saying that, you know. Yeah. But because I don't know how you accuse somebody of doing something and know you lying. Like, what was he looking to get out of it? He was looking to sue you?
Well, you got to realize it was an incident. He had crashed my car. It was a tow truck, and you can see it's it was made the news and everything like that. So
damn, you're always on the news.
Yeah, it's crazy. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
It's old to say. Yep. So it is what it is, man.
So how did you get into being would you consider yourself a bodyguard? What's the proper term for that?
Well, I wouldn't say I was a bodyguard. You gotta realize is that I was just a regular dude in a crew.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I was a part of the same gang.
Okay.
Same gang was a crew that was started by A$AP Ferg, Father, myself, Mike Owens, Tab, Tone Wop. You ever heard the dance called Do the Tone Wop?
Tone Wop?
The dude named Tone Wop. And a dude named Rick Dogg. All these guys are from Harlem.
Mm.
You understand? I was a dude who me and D. Ferg met at St. John's Cathedral. He was doing T-shirts then. I was a counselor.
Got you.
You know, one of my first jobs. And, you know, I was a fraternity guy, too, also.
Okay.
So, you know, he wanted to start a clique.
You're a Q, right?
Oh, that's the only thing I could
I'm about make. To say, because, but yo, let me ask you something. Sidebar, why are all Qs big as hell? What is that all about? I've never seen a skinny Q.
Yeah,
dog,
I've seen
ever.
A few of them. The ones you don't want to run into.
Right, yeah. Oh, the skinny Q, though?
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Because I see
if you online, them to be the ones that are let me stop right there.
Okay, yeah.
Put it on you.
Because every Q Dog I ever seen was Diesel, big. I'm like, what is that all about? So you got the brand, too?
I got several.
Damn. Yeah. All right. So y'all, you met at the cathedral. And
we met at the cathedral, so he wanted to start. He had seen this thing. It was this thing, self-destruction.
Got you.
Right? And then all the clicks was coming up. Some of the clicks was coming up. It was Butt Naked. It was things called, it was, I'm losing my train of thought. It was Butt Naked. It was, who else?
Couple of crews.
NFLs. Yeah, okay. NFL. They wasn't before us, but, you know, everybody started getting their own crew from the block. Because what happened was the hustling dudes start taking their money and throwing parties.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So if you throw a party, you could flip your money.
Got you.
And then if you put it in the LLC, you could say it's legal because I got this money from this party.
Got you.
You know, so they learned that game. So we started giving bus rides, parties, and all that stuff like that. Some of the guys in the same gang had legal jobs. They were COs. They were entrepreneurs. Some mm-hmm. of them hustled, did whatever like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we all just would come together, do parties and things like that.
Got you. Right. So y'all start a crew together.
Right.
So how did you end up holding rappers and entertainers down?
Well, the same gang was giving parties and stuff like that, and Butt Naked was giving parties, and dudes was having problems at their parties.
Mm.
But I was the one that I could put a good team together.
Mm.
See, security is about, you know, how good your team is.
Yes.
So what I did was I got four COs, one sergeant, four dudes from the street. Mm-hmm. I would have 10 guys.
Mm.
You know, like the four dudes on the streets were serious.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? They did it basically because it was just fun and the girls.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't need the money. They had money. They, you know, they were doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
But to see them at the parties and see them, they was had some kind of authority and stuff like that. That's what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? The COs and, you know, the COs and other people like that, they were just as serious, you know, doing their thing and stuff like that, making a couple extra mm-hmm. $100. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Tax-free
money.
Yeah. So I would put a good team together. Then this dude, Tim Dog, who was over the Lost Boys.
That's the producer. Butt Naked Tim Dog.
Yeah, Tim
Dog. So Butt Naked was him?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
people don't even know
no,
that.
No, but because when you said Butt Naked, I was going to say the only person I ever heard with that name was Tim Dog. But he's the one who did Dreams for Biggie.
Yeah.
He produced that beat. Yeah. Yeah. Butt Naked Tim Dog.
And then, you know, he was the president over at Epic and stuff
yes,
like that.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So Tim Dog, he had the Lost Boys and stuff like mm-hmm. that. He was like, yo, Gene, I need your security team, man.
Mm.
So I started doing the security team, you know, started doing the Butt Naked parties.
Wow.
Because they was having problems at the front door. So I would have two dogs. I had the dogs, the everything like that.
Mm.
Boom. So I think the biggest party I did was Heavy D's birthday party at the California Club. Yeah.
How many people?
It was packed.
Damn. Rest in peace, Heavy D.
Yes, great brother. Great Nobody, brother.
And I wanted to ask you that. I did a podcast on why is Heavy D not celebrated, in your opinion?
Because anybody that has, in our culture, it seems like if you go to college,
mm-hmm.
you understand, you come home with your degree. Can I say it?
Yeah.
That dude just a college boy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That nigga just a college boy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're a good dude.
He you know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing like that. Let somebody come home from jail and they got a rip on their chin or something like that. Yeah, my man was holding it down.
He
a good dude, man. Come on, bro.
Yeah.
That's the poison they put in our minds.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Yo, let me hit him off, man. Let me hold some and everything like that.
They're going to get some sneakers. Yeah, let me take them and get him a care package. Yeah, get like him sneakers.
You know what I'm saying? But you want to have him get this guy get a tie so he can go to his job interview.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, it's how we celebrate and what we think is important.
We celebrate failure. As a
piece of like that. Yeah.
We celebrate failure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Because I always like, you know, Heavy D he helped a lot of people.
Heavy helped a lot. And he stopped a lot of things from happening to people.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm.
And he held Mount Vernon down.
Yeah.
Like he loved Mount Vernon.
Put it
Vernon.
On the map.
He loved Mount
yeah,
Vernon.
Yeah.
You know, and the dudes and the people around there.
Mm.
Right?
Crazy.
But, you know, Heavy should be celebrated because it's a couple of people in the industry that wouldn't be in the industry if it wasn't for Heavy.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
That's a fact. So you had you did the big heavy D party was right. with the Tim Dog joint your first gig?
Nah, okay. I was doing the Cotton Club. I was doing same gang parties.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? Because the same gang, because this cat Puffy was trying to, you know, he was looking for an image. He was looking for a crew to be with. He became one of the same one of the first same gang. Initiates, okay. You know, a person that initiate.
You know,
he was like in part of that whole crew that summer.
Got you.
That got initiated.
Got you. So is that how you end up holding him down on the individual tip?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Because he was doing the building back in the day, if you remember. He was doing the building in the red zone. This was way before he was with the building in the red zone. The building was what he did the Monday night unsigned hype.
Mm.
You understand? He was doing Monday night unsigned hype in the building. He was doing Wednesday at the Red Zone.
That's a little before my time. I probably couldn't come outside at that time. So you wasn't there for City College, right?
I was the one who opened the door for those kids that saved their lives. The 9 kids that died that night.
Wow. Because City College, a lot of people don't know about City College. The general public don't know about City College.
9 kids died that night.
And that was Puffy's party.
That was Puffy's party.
And the money was missing too, right?
Oh, they had the money. They could play that role if they want to, because Jessica Rosenberg, she took the money, ran down the steps, and shut the door. And that's how those kids got trapped.
She ended up being the tunnel. She ended up doing a lot too, managing Flex. Yep. Yeah. Wow. So
she had those 9 kids on her life, and she never got charged or implicated in any of that.
I heard Puffy paid them off. Did he ever pay them off?
I can't really say that because I don't know.
Yeah, I think he did.
They made some settlements.
Yeah, he settled with them. But the City College, I remember being young.
They took the lump. So.
Yeah, and they got trampled. It was a trample, and the door didn't go outward, right? It came inward.
The door, you had to pull the door
inward.
It didn't go outward.
So when everybody ran, they couldn't push the door out because the door came in.
Yeah.
And it was a stampede. And
you had to open it from the inside.
Got you. It was a stampede and 9 kids died.
Yo, man, listen to me, man. And this is a tragic situation. It was the girl. She was pregnant by Father MC. God bless the dead.
Mm.
We got her out the crowd. Mm-hmm. They was trapped in the glass doors that was upstairs.
Mm.
You know, they ran from being trapped in the glass doors upstairs to go downstairs and be trapped at the doors that they couldn't even open.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So we got her out the glass door. And don't you know, my man held her to the side and said, "Ma, go home, you're pregnant."
Mm.
When I opened the door, she was one of the first people that fell through the doors.
Mm. But 9 people, so you seen the people deceased already?
Right there, on the floor.
Wow.
8 of them. I think one died at the hospital.
Wow. You seen death a lot, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So you did the city. So when did you start bodyguarding for him? When Bad Boy started or prior to that?
Well, Heavy came to the block, put that cape on Heavy. He came to the block because some things was about to happen.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And he talked people down and told me, because, like, if I tell you to do something and not to do something, and you paying me to not only for your safety, for everybody else's safety here, and something happens because of what you did, then I think you should be responsible for that.
Got you.
You know, everything else you should be responsible for that.
Mm-hmm.
So Heavy came to the block, he talked to one of the bosses, talked to me and everything like that. And everything got rectified.
So you were in Harlem at this time?
Harlem, yeah. Okay. 112th Street and 8th Avenue.
Okay.
We had a fish store and we had a game room right there.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Is that where T-Rex is from too?
T-Rex is from off the block. I know T-Rex.
Yeah.
I was the first one who took T-Rex and used to have him battle people.
Wow.
He was 12 years old.
Wow.
Take him to the Bronx, take him to Queens.
So you was there for the Uncasa battle too? He battled Uncasa. It was outside. This was like one of his first.
First battle was Money Mike at Lambert Houses.
Damn.
In the Bronx. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. 12?
12 years old.
Wow.
He won me $300.
Yeah. I used to side bet on the battle.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So then he went out to Queens and told everybody up at Black Hands.
Mm. Chaz.
Chaz. You know what I'm saying?
He battled Grav too?
I think he battled Grav. Grav couldn't touch him back then.
Well, you know they're gonna be like, yeah. Gene, you crazy? Grav is nice.
Grav couldn't touch T-Rex back then at 12 years old. Chaz said, yo, Gene, he 12. You just can't believe him.
Wow. Oh, because he's talking the street stuff, right?
Yeah, he's talking that street stuff. He 12 years
Rest
old.
Rest in peace, Chaz, because you know the OGs is just like.
But check this out. Uh-huh. It's one big battle he had on the phone. Mm. And I found out this kid is big on Nick Cannon stuff.
Oh, Charlie Clips?
Not Charlie Clips.
Conceited?
No. The dude from St. Louis.
Oh, Hitman Holla.
Hitman Holla.
Oh, wow.
I had him battle Hitman Holla on the phone.
Because you're from the Lou, right?
From the Lou, yeah. Wow. I had him battle Hitman Holla from Lou when they both was about 10, 11, 12 years old.
Wow.
On the phone.
Wow, that's crazy.
Way back then.
So you knew Hitman Holla when he was little?
I knew his father. Wow. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Yeah.
Big Joe.
Yeah, Big Gerald.
Big Gerald, yeah, because you know him and Averb battle, yeah, and they're from the Louis. Yeah, his father's name is Big Gerald.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
He's real close with my little brother.
Wow.
Gerald's close with my little brother. We was at his house, actually, when it happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy. So you had T-Rex in Harlem, and you had Hitman Harlem. You got battle rap history right there.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
If you want to talk about battle rap history, the person who started that battle rap history, he doesn't get any
recognition
at all for it.
Who's that?
Unique.
Who's that?
Unique was the guy who started Mecca Audio.
It's coming to me a little
Mecca
bit.
Audio had, they used to do a club right there on Club 2000 on Broadway. Oh, 157th and Broadway.
I took the train up there one day from Brooklyn. That's a long ride.
Yeah.
Club 2000.
But it was worth it, right?
Yeah, it was worth it. Club 2000 was nice.
It was worth it.
I think Biz got cut there one time, right?
Yeah,
Biz got cut.
Yeah.
Cause I used to go.
Everybody thought he was trying to rob Biz. They wasn't trying to rob Biz.
Yeah. I remember
Biz had stole some stuff from Mecca Audio and gave it to Naughty by Nature.
Oh, well, that's the end of that. You know what? Cause Club 2000, that's when Do It All from Lords of the Underground used to call my crib and say, "Come to the club." I'm like, "Where? Club 2000?" That was a long A train ride.
Yeah.
That was a long train. So you, when did you and so how many people were you bodyguarding for?
I don't. It's you got to be like family.
Got you.
You understand, because that's what happens is that if you see me with somebody,
mm-hmm.
I'm ready to lay down my life for them.
Mm.
I don't have no problem with laying down my.
So
life.
It's not a money thing. It's not work a money for hire. Thing. Yeah.
No.
Got
it's
you.
Not that. You understand? When I was with Puff, people would tell you, could nobody get at him? No, he never had a problem situation with an individual because I stopped the way before it got to him.
Mm. So you wasn't there when the Sean incident happened in the club?
No, we was off. Listen, that incident with Sean, bro, we was off. Puff was in the Hamptons.
Mm.
I don't know if y'all know this. He was in the Hamptons with Jennifer Lopez. They was catching the boat finna go on this some kind of Mediterranean excursion and stuff like that on their own yacht. He called Wolf and Wolf said he in the I'm at the show. I'm down here on 4440 something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm at the club. He said yeah. He said oh I'm on my way. He said no stay home.
Mm.
So then they called me and say yo Gene. I said what? What you doing? I said I'm off.
Wow.
Hung up the phone.
Mm.
You understand? And that's when that stuff happened.
So because he wasn't even supposed to be there.
He wasn't even supposed to be there. We was off.
Wow. So Wolf was officially his bodyguard too?
Wolf, see, it's what happened was Wolf
was rest part, in peace, Wolf too. Let's say that.
Wolf, yeah, rest in peace, Wolf. Wolf was part of Butt Naked.
Got you.
Butt Naked was the financiers of Bad Boy Records.
Do that again. Say that again.
Wolf was a part of Butt Naked.
Crew. Okay.
Butt Naked was the financiers of Bad Boy Records before they even got to Clyde Davis.
Mm. So they the ones responsible for that whole Big Mac thing and all
that? That money and that whole thing, like that whole stuff. Like that was all a part of the Butt Naked stuff.
Wow.
They money.
Wow.
And you know they had got 9, 16 of life sentences.
Heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it goes
so,
a lot.
Yeah. So Wolf was
he had his own contract. He was getting his own. He was getting his check, and he had to work.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying?
So he was on the payroll forever.
He was on the payroll forever.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying?
So that's why after a while he could just be in videos and just
do whatever he wanted to do.
Got you. Got you. He was getting a stipend every 2 weeks, like a yeah.
No, we was getting paid every week.
Oh, hey, that's even better.
Yeah.
So when did you start? Was you still?
I stopped dealing with Puff after the City College thing.
Okay.
Yo, but I was still dealing with Butt Naked doing
their
parties.
Got you.
Because that last party they had the Lowe's when they had the shoot thing, the shootout and everything like that. Long story. I was still dealing and working with Tim Dawg doing his parties and things like that. So Wolf had an incident with somebody that was close to me.
Got you.
We straightened that out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And when they came back from Atlanta, Wolf asked me, did I want to come work for Bad Boy? I said, I ain't messing with dude.
Got you. Because you know of the City College thing? Or you
because
just
of
see
the City College
foul.
Thing
okay.
like that. And I saw that he was, he said, yo, Gene, you ain't got to listen to nobody but me.
Mm.
All right? You ain't got to listen to nobody but me. You know
got
what I'm saying? And I said, all right, then, Wolf, you know what I'm saying? Because Wolf taught me how to get money at the door.
Got you.
You understand?
Oh, you was one of them. Oh, you want to wear that hat? Give me $100.
Yeah.
Yo, damn. I can't stand y'all.
Yo, like, Wolf, we used to kill him.
Yo, because
like,
I remember
it was a
going
dress up party.
Yeah, I remember going to like places like Lobby and places, Cheetahs. He'd be like, yo, I don't like your shirt. Give me $100. You can wear it. Like, yo, what you mean? Or like he would just, they would just pick you off the line. It'd be like a whole line of people. I don't like your shirt. Or go to the car and change your shirt. Like, yo, what you talking about? I came here dressed like this. So, yeah, y'all was making a lot of extra money.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
He told me, he said, yo, Gene, you got to dress when you come in the door, man. You know, you can't be like the regular security dudes. You understand? Wear your jewelry, wear your stuff, and then dudes will give you a lot of money.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So it went from, like, $20 to jump in line to $100.
Yeah, facts.
To $200 and stuff
like that.
Yo, I could tell you God honest truth. I mean, like, one time at the party, I made, like, $7,000 at the door.
Ooh.
Because people didn't want to wait in line.
That was more than your fee you was getting for the day, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, if I was working for Puff, you know, I'm on the payroll.
So you work for Puff through Wolf?
No. I have my own contract.
Okay, so.
But Wolf just brought me back and brought us back into graces.
Got you, yeah, because I wanted to clarify that for the people. So you did end up working for Puff again after City College, but Wolf is the one that mended that fence.
Yeah, Wolf mended that fence.
Okay, Wolf mended that fence.
Right.
When the Atlanta incident happened, where were you at?
I was in New York.
Not with Wolf, the so-called Suge Knight incident at the Jermaine Dupri party.
Yeah, I was in
New
York.
You was in New York? You heard about that too, right?
I heard about that.
Was that the start of the friction?
That was the start of the friction, but it was stuff that people made up because Wolf and Suge was right next to each other.
Mm, wow.
When Jake got killed.
Wow.
So how they gonna say Wolf did it?
Mm.
And was he, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Superpowers or something like that. He was right next to him when the shots went off.
Wow.
Because they was cool.
Wow. Puffy and Suge was cool too at the time.
Puff and Suge was cool.
Wow. So where did that tension come from? Was it Suge bullying him or Puffy really was doing stuff behind the scenes that we didn't know?
Well, I heard a couple of stories that Puff wanted some money from Suge when Suge asked him to do a party for them.
Mm-hmm.
And Puff wanted the door or whatever like that. I heard that story. But what I actually think it was is that, you know, Suge was just trying to use the fact that Bad Boy is getting a lot
come
of
up.
You know, they got them to come up. They got a lot of play. They're getting all this stuff like that. We got to show that we have that power.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? And any record executive at that time, they didn't see with us. The people only those folks only want to see one at the top.
Yes.
They don't want to see four or five at the top. And
be,
all that.
Can't it be. Can't be Cardi, Nicki, and Lil' Kim. It got to be one.
It's got to be one.
It can't be no Jay-Z, Nas. It got to be one.
It's got to be one.
Yeah.
That's why they always say, who's the best?
That's corporate America.
You know, so right. But,
you can't
but they
be
don't
Coke
never,
and Pepsi.
Yeah, but they don't never say, who's the best rock group?
Yeah, 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 yeah. You're right.
You understand?
You're absolutely right.
Who's the best crooner?
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah. That's a singer for those who don't know.
Right, okay.
So you was there for the come to Death Row speech at the Source Awards?
Listen, I was not dealing with dude no more. None of that.
When did you come back in the fall? What year?
I came back right after that the shooting.
Got you. Okay, so you came back then.
Because Wolf said, yo, the situation happened, man. God bless the dead. And I'm not even going to tell the story, but Wolf said, told him, said, yo, if Gene run after me and I got a gun in my hand, I want him on our team.
Mm.
So we met on 125th Street across from the, across from Mark 125 mm-hmm. at the time. And me, him, Rico, and Slick, we ironed some things out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was it.
So then you started just going on the road with them everywhere.
Yeah.
And then you had your own contract.
With Puff.
So what is the contract? How do y'all do that? He just says, yo, I want you to hold me down for this and I'm going to pay you.
No, he paid you for, like, you know, Puff was the principal.
Okay.
Puff has always been my principal. Nobody else.
Gotcha.
I was responsible for nobody else. Puff and his kids.
Mm.
He give you, you know, roundabout figures. We talked about it off the air.
Got you.
That's what we get.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then is that after the first 10 hours, you get that much. You could make, I had him for 2 or 3 days out the week, and I was pulling anywhere from 18 to 24.
Mm, for 3 days of work.
Yeah.
Wow.
And most of it being the studios, or he going out to dinner, or he playing with the kids.
Just you and him?
Me and him.
So, yeah, because you felt like, how would you would have felt awkward having other bodyguards with you with him? Or?
No, it was other bodyguards at a certain time, depending on where we were going.
Got you.
If we was going into certain clubs, or we was going to certain spots, it wasn't only me.
Got you.
All right.
So when this,
but I'm the one that's responsible for him.
So when this whole East Coast West Coast thing started heating up, did it get more intricate, your job?
I've always looked at it and viewed it as the same.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I go on the principle, you know, failure to prepare is preparing to fail, and nothing beats an ambush. Mm. So I'm always on point.
Got you.
Looking for something to happen.
Got you. And you know, you told the world some stories that is crazy, because according to what you're saying, it means a lot of people are in cahoots with hiding the truth.
Oh, no doubt. And you know what the problem is?
Mm-hmm.
Is that not saying you,
mm-hmm.
but people who have the opportunity to ask people certain questions
don't.
When they get to a forum like this, they don't.
Mm. Cause I'm gonna be real with you. You know, me and you spoke off record, and I apologize to you because I was one of the people that was like, "Yo, he gotta be lying because this is like so big. How come nobody's corroborating your story? Why do you think that is? Nobody corroborated the story with you?"
Because the fact of the matter is that you always chase the money.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? Listen here, I kept my job. I fought for my job.
Got you.
I'm retired and I get a pension every month.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I could sit in the corner, not even come home, and I just pimp the mailman.
Yeah, right. Watch the mailbox, right? Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so
you know, I don't have that responsibility. When that stuff happened to Big,
mm-hmm.
the FBI and everybody questioned somebody, said, if anybody from Bad Boy speak to any law enforcement people, they'll never work for Bad Boy. They'll never do this. They'll never have nothing to do with them.
So
you know what I'm saying?
So they didn't want y'all to tell the truth.
They didn't want them. They didn't want them to say nothing.
Who orders the? Who ordered that? Puff? It came from the top.
It came from the top. Yeah.
Wow.
So now you could say this.
Uh huh.
I've seen Lil C's.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen D-Rock.
Mm-hmm.
On platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody never asked them. So hey, this guy Gene Deal saying he told y'all. That night before y'all left Andre Harrell's house, that these guys were coming to kill us tonight.
Mm.
Did he say it? Let them say, yo, he lying.
You know who gonna pull that out of them?
Huh?
I'ma ask. I have to. It's just my job. I have to ask one of them. Cause I think the world needs to know what happened. Did you ever have a conversation with Ms. Wallace?
I had a conversation a tear-dropping conversation with Ms. Wallace.
And without, you know, indulging in the conversation, how did you tell her what you told the world, did you?
I told her. I told her to the point where she grabbed my hand and she was in tears. And she said, I don't want to hear that no more.
Wow. Did you ever hear Big Ron where he says, Mom's crouched up over the casket, screaming basket. No, my friends is lying. Y'all know who killed them, filled them. Did you ever hear that verse?
I never even looked at it right there.
He said that.
Yo, my man, you freaking me out right now.
I just got the chill saying it, but I'm dead serious. He says that. And pray, right? That's pray, right? No, my friends is lying. Mom's crouched up over the casket, screaming bastard. No, my friends is lying. Y'all know who killed them, filled them with them Rugers. Yeah, that's a biggie verse off his off Life After Death.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yo, let me just tell you something, man. The day I spent with Big, and I talked about this, and I told Ms. Wallace, and she knew I was there because I told her everything they was talking about.
Wow.
You understand?
Well, he was talking on the phone.
On the phone.
Okay.
Ma, I'm going to send you the $60,000. Tell a contractor, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And she, and you could hear, you know, you could see like, yo, well, they talking about they not going to finish building the house because they was doing a house out there in Pennsylvania, you know, stuff like that. He said, don't worry about it, Ma. I'm gonna give her the money. I'm sending you the money. Just tell the contract. Give me the information. I'm gonna make sure somebody take care of it. Big was showing me his contract and everything like that, and I didn't know why Big was just talking to me like he was talking to me. You understand what I'm saying? It's because Lucille just came out and said, "Yo, Big wasn't talking to me all week because I left those pictures in the room and Charlie Baltimore seen them in the bag." I remember the incident because I was right there.
Of him and another chick.
Him and some other chicks, chicks around San Francisco. You know, Charlie seen the pictures and got into, when they got into a big fight, she threw his Rolex and his ring out the window.
Whoa.
You understand?
Yeah.
We got the Rolex back, but we didn't find the ring.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So, long story short, I'm telling Ms. Wallace everything. And like, stuff like this. So when Big gets off the phone, I said, damn, man. You owe everybody. Because I'm messing with him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
you know.
I'm a little older. I'm teasing him, messing with him and stuff like that. He said, I owe everybody. I said, yeah, you owe Mike Gadget $60,000 for them cars. Because Mike Gadget had put those drop boxes in all his cars and stuff that. And he was bragging about it. He was saying stuff, yo, you ain't big, I gotta get my money. He was like, yo, how you know that?
Wow.
You know, he wanted, I said, big niggas talk.
So dudes is talking his business.
Yeah, he was talking. He said, dudes is talk. So Big told me all his business from that time D-Rock and them was gone. D-Rock had left and went with Puff. So Big told me all. He told me about Junior Mafia, his relationship. Yo, he was just spilling out everything to me. And I was like, and, you know, I had some Newport cigarettes because I was smoking cigarettes at the time. And he had the soft packs and I had the box. And he wanted to get like, so we just, and I was like, yo, this kid told me his business and everything. He had all these groups. He's about to leave Bad Boy. I will take you with me. That's what he told me. But you love that nigga too much. You know what I'm saying? You know, he joking back and forth and stuff like that. I said, no, I'm going to go with you, Big. You know what you paying, man? He was talking about. It was just situations like that. So he was telling me his whole life story, man. I was like, damn. So this the ironic thing. The night Big got killed, you know, he's sitting in the chair. I'm behind him. If you see that picture with that dude with that four, that's me, a slimmer version of
me. Got you.
You understand? And I kept that joint on my back like
that.
So then Puff kept leaving, going back and forth. So he said, yo, Gene, stay there with Big. So I stayed there with Big for the rest of the night right there.
This is the first time you ever had Big as the principal.
Well, I had him that time in the Winnebago.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? This is the first time I ever had him upstairs at the thing.
Got you. Because you know, so before that, Puff was always just you and Puff.
Just
you never
me and
had
Puff.
Big as a client.
I never had a Big as a client.
Okay.
So Puff, or when he on stage, Puff said, yo, Gene, go out when you know, go out on the stage because he know that I'm not going to let nobody come up on the stage like that.
Got you.
You know, I was kind of brainwashed to the sin, man. You
got
know
you.
What I'm saying? Because I had this premonition that I had to save Puff and be there for Puff for other people's dreams to come true. That was that's what I was there for. Mm. So I was willing to lay down my life for dude at that time.
Was he, that night, was he the intended target, you believe, or was it always Big?
I can't even say that, man. I can't even say it. But what I can say is that he acted in a manner that he never acted before for somebody who had been with him that long, and that's me. That's just like these dudes, I don't know, y'all relationship and stuff like that.
Yeah, we've been together for some
years. Yeah, if y'all been together somewhere, and they see you, and you're doing something totally out the way, they're going to look at each other and be like,
what's good with him?
Yeah. Yo, man, come on. You know, Doggy don't be acting like that. What's wrong with him? Somebody put something in his cup? What's wrong with Doggy? You know, this night, that was Diddy. You understand? Bringing girls back. Yo, Gene, remember. Gene, remember. He know I don't like to be bothered when I'm doing, you know, security, especially with no chicks, no dudes, or no nothing. I got to make sure you all right. So I'm looking here, there, and stuff like, yo, Gene, bring a girl directly to me. Gene, get her name and everything. Remember her. No.
Yeah.
So then Big said, how the hell Gene gonna remember all these girls? Because he had brought like six or seven girls telling me to remember them. Get their name and everything, get to remember. And we at a death row party.
In Death Row Land.
In Death Row Land.
Yeah.
Because all the Death Row guys who was in there, just like, I'm like. So now, I take a pen and I take a napkin off the table and I put, I'll remember on it. So when he brought the last girl over to me, he brought another girl over to me. Yo, Gene, you remember her, something like that, like that? And Big turned around and looked at me like this. You know, one eye went this way, the other eye went that way.
Yeah.
He looked at me, and I put the paper up like this. I'll remember. It's like, that's why I'm here today.
Wow.
Because I remember what he told me. I remember what he was going through, and I remember what happened.
When I first met you was in front of Jersey Girls. Correct. First time I met you. What you told me that night, I'll never forget what you told me. You told me what happened to Big. And I was like, that's not what they said happened. Could you, for the people, I'm pretty sure you told them the last moments of what happened, the shooting. How did it happen again?
Well, me and Puff was arguing outside the car because I wanted to ride on top of the, like, you know.
The presidential riding.
The presidential shit. It's crazy, man. Like, things happen for a reason. Prior to that, 2 weeks before we went out to L.A., I did this interrogation and surveillance class with the DEA. Because my job was offering and stuff like that. So they told you how to question somebody. You do a line of questioning, and if they do what they call an involuntary eye movement, involuntary motion, you ask them like a series of 10 questions that you know the individual is going to tell the truth. Then you ask them something that's uncomfortable for them. You understand?
Almost like a verbal lie detector?
Right.
Gotcha.
And then you ask them something that if you know they're going to tell an outright lie about it or be untruthful. And then you look at their motions doing that every time. And you jotting down the different motions he's doing, doing those questioning. Then we did what they called surveillance. Like, it was two people. It was people in the classes. And they tell you these people what they had on. They're going to try to you got to follow them. They're going to try to lose you. So in the interim of that class, they was telling about being in the car and knowing if somebody follow you. He said, if you make three rights or run three lights and somebody's behind you doing the same thing, they following you. You take three rights, you in the same place you start.
Facts.
You understand?
Yeah, facts.
So if that car's behind you.
Yeah, what they going back to the same place for?
What going back to the same place for?
Yeah.
Or if you run three lights and you see somebody running three lights with you or running lights with you.
Yeah.
Evidently, what's your car? So that night, I wanted to do the presidential thing. Mm. Yo, Keefe Dienum had came up into the party. Mm-hmm. I said, yo, Keefe, yo, Big. Big, you know Keefe? Just like that. Yo, Big, yeah, I know. They gave each other dap.
So Keefe D is Southside Crips?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he up in there. It's right there. So now, the fire alarm.
Not to cut you, was Baby Lane there or was he
there? No, he wasn't there.
Okay.
Yeah. So the fire alarm, this is after Pac is dead.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why when they draw up this whole thing and say, and they do this whole radio thing, this whole, they found the killer and everything like that. Yo, and Keefe D didn't ever have a conversation with Puff prior to this. Me and Keefe D, and we was in the Four Seasons gambling together. Mm. You understand?
So it's surveillance video of that somewhere.
Huh?
It's surveillance video of that somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
So you're in the Four Seasons Hotel. So we in the Four Seasons gambling. Wow. Me, D-Mac, Keefe D, Zip, Puff, and Tretch with Arnell Simpson on his arm.
Tretch was down with Tupac, too, though.
Man, brother, he was down with a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
But he a good brother.
No, facts.
You understand? So he gambling. And
with OJ daughter on his arm. That's what he talking about, OJ Simpson daughter. Yeah.
And hit them for like 20,000.
Mm.
You understand?
So it's the Southside Crips.
Yeah.
Yourself, Puffy, Biggie.
D-Mac.
Who's D-Mac?
D-Mac is a good dude, Southside. He's a Crip from out there, too.
Okay.
He's the one that, you know, always, you know, like he worked for Sean John, but him and Puff was real close.
Got you. So that was that the introduction to the Southside Crips? Because I didn't understand.
I don't know.
The
correlation. No, I think the introduction came from Zip.
Okay.
And D-Mac had his crew that was Crips. You know, I don't know what they Grape Street or whatever they was, or I don't know. And then, or they could have been South. I don't know his affiliation with them.
Let me ask you something, direct. I see different conspiracies. I see different people say different things, right? You know who WAC 100 is, right?
I know WAC.
WAC said it was a bag. It was somebody from L.A. that did it to Big, but it was a Harlem dude's bag that paid for it. Do you know what he's talking about? Do you know what he's saying?
I ain't speaking on it.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Got you.
I'm going to say that.
For the last, for Gene Deal.
Yeah, for Gene Deal. I'm going to say that for Gene Deal. Because I know and to be honest to God, I saw the check. But I don't know where the check came from. I just know the person who had the check, and I know what they told us what he got the check for.
All right.
And that's why I'm going to leave it at that.
Just one more thing on that. So you're telling me you saw the check for Biggie's life?
I don't know if it was for Biggie's. No. I'm not saying it's for Biggie.
Okay, yeah. Because we got to clarify that.
I saw the check for Pox. I guess if it was for Pox's life.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know for sure.
Damn.
I just know after Pac died, that check came into somebody's hand.
Mm, got you.
And they said, this is what I got the check for. And it was just funny that it was soon after Pac died that they got that check for that.
Wow. If you could, when the last time you spoke to Puffy? Face to face.
He tried to send me some money at the Kingdom.
Okay.
And I wouldn't take it.
And what year was this?
I don't know. It was the Kingdom basketball tournament. Bad Boy had a team in there, and he was talking about, yo, get us to security. And some dude came on and said, yo, Puff sent us to security. I said, I don't want that shit. Give it to somebody else over there.
Mm. So you left him. You never got fired, or was you fired?
No, it was just like he was tired of his mother bothering me.
Explain that.
He was tired of his mother bothering me. It's like every time I'm around, she's asking me to do something, and I'm telling her I'm not here for that.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? And he said, why are you always bothering Gene?
Got you.
Back then, you know, I'm a little slimmer. I was 235, 6'7".
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? I'm older than them.
Got you.
And I'm just a few years, you know, younger.
You're not
than
going
her.
Where I think you're going with it. You're not going where I think you're going.
I wouldn't go there.
But you're talking about, are you insinuating what I think you're insinuating?
I'm not insinuating nothing, but okay. She had you butt.
Okay.
She knows.
Okay. We can leave it there.
We can leave it there.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Biggie, when you spoke to him, his publishing, did he ever speak to you about his publishing?
Yes, he did.
Who had his publishing?
Puff had his publishing and his marketing. And that he was in his last contract. See, I read the contracts.
Mm-hmm.
See, in the end of the contract, they was going to talk about getting his publishing and his marketing, the part that Puff owned back. That's what I read in the contract.
Got you.
And then I asked him, what's publishing, what's marketing? He said, publishing is when I write something for somebody.
He gets the bread.
They get the bread for writing. Mm-hmm. But if they know, you know, if I write something for somebody and Puff know I wrote it for them, you understand? He gets the bread.
Mm-hmm.
Marketing is when you see my picture on a poster and it's like I'm selling St. Ives or
so
I'm selling
something
like that.
So he owned his likeness.
Yeah.
His likeness.
Yeah.
Wow. So everything, wow. So he told you he was leaving Bad Boy.
He said that he's starting his own thing because that's why he was getting a contract. He showed me a contract. I don't know if it was $6 or $62 million, and I think it was from Capitol Atlantic Records. And he was showing. He showed me the contract. It was for 5 groups. It was for Tracy Murray, Cameron, Little Kim, Junior Mafia, Charlie Baltimore, and The Commission.
That's him, Jay-Z, and Charlie.
I guess.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm just telling you.
So he already had the paperwork.
Yeah, he was reading because he was trying to brag, talking about yo, look at this. See, you see that right there? I was like, yeah, man, all right, man. Yo, they gonna cheat you out of that too.
Did he talk about Brooklyn Mint at all? He had Brooklyn Mint at the time, the clothing.
Yeah, he had Brooklyn Mint.
And remember, he wanted to do a restaurant too.
Yeah, I don't know about.
Yeah,
that
he part. Wanted to do a restaurant and a clothing line, but you know who?
Well,
ended
I know
up
he
doing
had
that.
The clothing line,
but you know who ended up doing that?
Yeah,
a restaurant and a clothing line.
Yeah.
So, you also did something called, what did you call the betrayal? What did you call that title of that video?
The Biblical Betrayal.
The Biblical
Biggie
Betrayal
Small.
Of Biggie Smalls. Is that, how accurate is that, Gene?
Look at this, bro. If you know anything everything I said out of my mouth is accurate because
okay.
It's the truth.
Okay.
But what I did was I put in the ironic satire of as if Biggie was Jesus.
Got you.
You understand? And D-Rock was Judas.
Mm.
And Puffy was the devil. And Lucy's and Junior Mafia was the disciples.
You know I couldn't watch that whole thing. That shit fucked me up a little
right.
bit. I ain't supposed to curse, but it really, really tripped me out because it's like, what you're saying is so deep because that means everybody that he grew up with and loved turned on him.
Well, I don't think they turned on him. You got to understand is the
devil whispered.
It's one of the gangsters says that the devil played a trick on us by making everybody think
that he didn't exist. Got you.
You understand? So now, if Puffy gets in D-Rock. Me and D-Rock had a conversation way before. You got to realize, I'm watching Puffy always on the phone trying to get Big at these different parties we went to.
Mm-hmm.
Big them never showed up at nothing.
That's a fact. I know how he moved.
He never showed up at nothing. So then now, after the Charlie, after the incident with him and Charlie Baltimore, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? After him and the incident with Charlie Baltimore, they at the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So me and Rock is in the back together with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yo, Rock, man, I'm getting a lot of... My man called me Unique. We mm-hmm. just talked about
mm-hmm.
Unique,
mm-hmm.
who started that battle rap up there, 150-something
in all. Mecca Audio. Mm-hmm.
Unique called me from Federal Penitentiary.
So that's where all the orders and everything, they know everything before we know.
Right, and he's out in California at the Fed Pen, right?
They heard it was a green light.
So he said it's a green light. He called me from Don Farrell. Don Farrell was a producer, one of the producers of Never Die Alone.
Mm.
So she gets on the phone with him. She called like that. And he tells me, yo, Big Gene. I said, yo, who this? He says, Unique, vest up.
Mm.
Phone clicked out. So the feds must have got a win. It was a 3-way call.
Got you.
You understand? So It clicked off. So I called Dawn back. I said, Dawn, who is that? She's Unique. We had this whole conversation. Unique from Mecca Audio? Yeah, that's Unique from Mecca Audio. He said, yo, Gene, they coming to get y'all. Vest up. I called Kirk Burrow. Yo, Kirk, we need more security.
Mm.
Dudes is coming at us. Kirk gets back at me. Yo, Puff saying he ain't paying for no more security. Guess who was the security out there?
You.
Me.
Just you?
Me.
I was his security. Then they had a dude named Kenny that was the driver and supposed to be the security. Then you had Paul, who was being paid by Arista, and because he on Bad Boy salary, but he been paid by Arista. He gets another cop. We in an East Coast, West Coast war battle, whatever you want to call it, and we got less than 5 men out there.
Y'all was sitting ducks, basically.
Listen, I wasn't. I'm getting back home.
Well, yeah, yeah. Well, really deep. And I know this is going to bother somebody. Did you ever see the Chronicles of Junior Mafia DVD?
No, I don't think so.
Little C said out of his mouth, he was angry at Puff on the DVD. He said, Big Body wasn't even cold. Puff got out of there. He left Big out there. Before Big Mother got to L.A., Puff was gone.
Yeah, that's true. Puff ran out the back of the hospital. I had cleared everybody out the hospital. Because now people who left us, it was 23 of us who went into that building together.
Mm.
The Peterson Museum.
Mm-hmm.
It was only 12 of us that left with each other because they was going to Steve Stout. They left, they seen the atmosphere and ran to Steve Stout house.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And we was left up in there. So when Lil C said we had to rake for our cars and stuff like that, Big couldn't even make to the thing, but I'm always thinking security. I ran and got the cars and put them by the door. Mm-hmm. So when they came out, we could just and gone.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? You and I both know. I can ask you a question right here. You don't know me from a can of paint. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But if we driving together, I run the light. What you do?
I'm running that shit too.
Thank you.
Why they ran in?
Anybody who knows that, if you get a ticket, I'm getting a ticket too.
Yeah, we together.
We all getting a ticket.
Yeah.
But we doing this together. So I say, Paul, are you ready? Yeah, yeah. Ready. Told you I tried to get up on the thing. Little C's and them is mad and upset because they know when Puff, when we was in the hospital, I got everybody out. Puff ran and grabbed me by my arms. Gene, we got to pray. We got to pray. I pushed his hands down, and I say, pray for what? That nigga's dead. And people said I was cold for saying that, doing it like that. But I had just pulled this kid out the car when, and this was the time Ms. Wallace was crying like a baby. I pulled him out the car, and I could see the urine and smell the feast all on them.
Mm.
You understand? And I just told you.
Yeah.
I just told you.
That this was going to happen.
Now, I got to deal with this.
Yeah. Because it kind of happens on your watch. They going to say you were security.
Yo, a lot of people think that.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that I was initially Big security. Because you look at the picture, you see me right there.
Yeah.
You understand? You know how many broken windows and things and car tires and all the stuff I went through?
Wow.
You understand? You know what I mean? Threats and everything like that? I'm good, though.
Yeah.
But the whole thing about it is this. They got that kid out of there on the next thing flying. We took him down to San Diego. Now, Chaz Williams got a crew at the hospital with us.
Black Hand.
God rest bless in peace, the dead.
Yes. So where's Chaz at? Chaz was in L.A.?
Chaz was in L.A.
So he came to hold y'all down and he ain't got nothing to do with nobody.
He ain't got nothing to do.
That's just your man.
Yo, I called Chaz.
Yeah.
Yo, this is blood capital. You understand?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yo, I'm where y'all at? The Peterson. I'm going to make sure you good. I told the guy at the thing, yo, Chaz coming here with about 8 guys. Make sure they get in.
Mm.
If I knew Chaz was across the street the time Big got killed, because Chaz was across the street.
Wow.
About to come across the light. When Big got hit at the light.
Mm.
I wouldn't have never got in that car. If I could have got some reception, if I had my phone. Right now I'm on point. I can't go to the phone. I can't do nothing. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So I had my gun out. So the police asked, the FBI said, did you have your gun out? I said, yes, I did, sir.
Mm.
Why you have your gun out? I'd rather be
judged by 12 than carried by 6.
Mm-hmm. You understand?
So you saw the person. Did you see the individual that shot in the car? Was he walking? Was he driving?
I didn't see the individual who shot in the car.
Okay.
The dude who Lucy said a Muslim guy shot Big. Right. I said, did he have a blue suit, white shirt, blue bow tie, peanut head? He said, yeah, Gene. And Paul said, yeah, Gene, how you know? I said, he walked up the Puff car first. But see, this is why I want, you know, my platform ain't big, bro. And it don't get off. The information don't get out like it should to the people. Now, MREC, you know, he did it, and it got to multitudes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it helped a whole lot. But the LAPD, I had a lawyer there with me, you know. So if they try to lie, the lawyer will come forward. She was there with me. The lawyer witnessed the fact. They showed me a picture with the dude in the blue suit, white shirt, and blue bow tie. Diddy and me. But they had messed up the face, so I can't see the face in the picture. And they said they was going to redo the picture or fix it and bring it back to me or fly me out there. You understand? They never did. They had the picture of the guy.
That you identified.
That I identify as
C's. C's identified.
And the C's identify as the shooter.
And Paul identified.
Right. No, C's identify as the shooter. I put him at the scene too. Because I said he walked up the Puff's car first.
Is that the Amir Muhammad dude?
Exactly.
He was in a documentary, right? I know you saw the documentary he was in.
Go ahead.
They never arrested him or...
Bro, let me tell you something. Amir Muhammad, if they would arrest him, that means that he was, his friends were LAPD. So who placed him there? Who put him there? People who was a part of LAPD. Right? They still responsible. You understand? They still responsible. Because look at this, bro. This is the Peterson Museum, right? They faked the shooting on this side. They killed Big on this corner. Five shots went off. Five, six shots went off right here. Me and Tone, when we got right back, we turned around and got back there where Big was shot at. We take out after the car. We take out and we drive behind him. We trying to catch him, right? Can't catch him. We in a government chip car and everything like that. When we turn around and get back, there's still no police there. Why?
But and the fireman was there too because the fireman shut it down.
The fireman shut it down. But the police was all on this side. Why no police ever came to this side when there's a shooting and a 911 call on this side?
And the name that we put out there is public record, so we not. You know, it was public records. Everybody seen.
Man, I don't
care
nothing about no snitching and all that stuff like that. Yo, that's how they got us brainwashed. That's why somebody could come to your neighborhood, rape or rape, shoot, and kill up somebody, and no one go, I don't know nothing.
Crazy.
Yo, you come to my block and do that, if I don't do something to you, it's going to be 100,000 police right there. Make sure you ain't even getting out of there.
I feel you. Because you dealt with a lot of online backlash, people coming at you.
Man, listen here, man. That's small things. They can come. Listen, what you eat don't make me shit. You understand? So what you coming at me don't make a difference because I know the truth and I know what's going on. You wasn't there. You understand? I know what I feel. You understand? Listen, I've been totally honest about everything I said. I don't gain nothing from this.
Got you.
Nothing from this. But I watched that boy lose his life, man, for nothing. When we already knew not to go, not to be there. Now, everybody can sit up here and talk about this about business. Okay, he was doing business. The same business he took care of in L.A., he could have did it in New York. What different business he did? Went to a radio station? Nigga, I'm going to call in.
Wow.
What different business he did?
How long was y'all out there again?
Off and on, like, I was out there, like, off and on, like, 2 weeks. Like, came 1 week and then stayed 3 or 4 days. Puff came back to the city, then we went left, and then we came back again.
Oh, yeah, because you only was responsible for Puff.
Oh, Puff, yeah.
How long was Big out there?
I think about, like, 2 weeks. It never went nowhere.
Wow. But I know him. That's his M.O., though.
Never went nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And when we get back to the thing when I was explaining the biblical part of that,
mm-hmm.
when Puff took D-Rock the day before the thing, and he hung out with D-Rock, Sally Richardson, and all that stuff like that, they stayed going all day. I knew what was up. But I thought I had gotten D-Rock ear enough for D-Rock to be like, nah, man, I'm not doing that. I'm not taking my man to this party. Because I already told him. Asked him that question. I sit up there and smoke. I don't even smoke.
Mm.
I smoked a joint with D-Rock.
Mm.
I can say that now. Because I'm retired.
Yeah.
I smoke. He said, Gene, that's a joint. I was like, man, I don't care what it is. I'm trying to let you know, brother.
Mm.
You feel me?
Mm.
I'm trying to let you know.
If you could look into the camera right now and say something to D-Rock, what would you say to him?
He already know.
Mm.
I ain't got to say nothing to Rock. Rock feel it in his heart. Rock know everything I'm telling him is the truth. Man to man, he knows that. He know even before we left Andre Harrell house the night Big got killed. I said to Big, Lucy's, Tone, and D-Rock. These niggas gonna kill us tonight, bro. Somebody gonna get gonna die tonight. And he said, Lucy said, go ahead, Gene, with that old cop shit. You think you know everything.
Mm.
On everything my love, on everything I love. Ask him about that. Oh, they don't remember? That's a long time ago.
Hmm.
Leave it alone.
How much has this haunted you?
I think it's, yo, dog, what happened was is that I had to hold it in because I was going through arbitration hearings because they was trying to get me on this for a long time.
Got you.
You understand? Just like, if you call up there and say, yo, parole officer Dill kicked my dog
mm-hmm.
and hurt him, they'll suspend me. Right? And you know what they're talking about at the suspension hearing?
What?
The Biggie Smalls case.
Wow.
Because they're trying to get me to lie. But what happened was is that I never bodyguarded Biggie Smalls.
Mm.
Biggie Smalls and them cap had no paperwork on me.
Well, your paperwork was with Puff.
Ah. Get it?
Got you. If you could talk to Puff right now, what would you say to him?
I have nothing to say to him. He already knows. Yo, let me tell you something. I wasn't trying to get at Puff.
Gotcha.
I'm trying to let people know the truth. Don't lie and say you didn't know. Because Suge Knight tells you, y'all ain't got a problem with me, y'all ain't got no problem. That don't mean you ain't got a problem.
Mm.
When Pac was alive,
mm-hmm.
we ran into Suge.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? In back of the House of Blues.
Okay.
Pac didn't speak to Puff. Pac didn't care about Puff, but Puff and Suge spoke.
Mm.
You understand? Puff asked Suge, do we have a problem out here? And Suge said, I don't know no problem y'all got. You going to take that for face value?
In L.A. He mean to do
in L.A. LA.
Okay.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
We had a news reporter right in between me, Riz, Puff, and Kenny.
Mm.
You understand? A news reporter right in the middle. Puff told me, oh, listen here. I don't want you to ever hear you say anything about this shit.
Mm.
You understand?
So y'all now just bumped into them, or was it a secret meeting?
We just bumped into them.
Got you.
You know, we was driving down Sunset Boulevard, and we was going in the house behind the House of Blues. I guess it was random.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So now, you take that for face value? You ain't got no problem in L.A.? Come on, he knew we had problems in L.A. They were still getting threats and everything like that. Mm. Bignum wasn't trying to go nowhere. We was going everywhere. Me and him.
Mm.
But see, what I was doing, I was calling my dudes.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Chaz. Yo, because Chaz was out there. He did all events. And he got like anywhere from 4 to 6 guys with him.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And when I traveled, you know, I would put 5 little extra, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, make sure. Because back then, you know, the airport laws was different.
Mm-hmm.
You could put your stuff in your suitcase
pre-9/11,
and stuff
yep.
like that. Pre-9/11. Mm-hmm. You understand? So I would put them in there. See them out there. Make sure everybody was all right. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And I'll call them, yo, we at this place. You say, all right, man, I'm going to be right there. so we could have extra.
Did you see DJ Quick that night? His name.
I saw DJ Quick that night.
His name always comes up and stuff, yeah, too.
And DJ Quick, you know, he said it himself. He said, yo, I think they got one of them bad boy niggas. They said they was going to get them.
Mm. That's on tape, too. That's public record.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, listen here, man. People can make like, you know, I didn't come up here, you know, I'm glad you're giving me this form to do this show and stuff like
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it helps what I'm trying to get out. I'm not, you know, listen to me. I had a great time, a great experience with Puff. We traveled, you know, the nation, the world, some third world countries and stuff like that. You know, did a lot of things. You know, stayed in 5-star hotels, ate some of the best foods. And, you know, I had a chance to have a whole another experience in life.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But I'm not going to let you lie on the dead.
Mm.
You understand? You know, I'm not going to let you, you know, and he did the same thing with Wolf. You know, he's a big part of why Wolf ain't here today. But people don't understand it. You understand?
Why is that, though? I don't get
that. That's because there was two entities.
Mm.
You understand? You know, he feeding poison to Wolf about the BMF.
Mm.
And he feeding poison to BMF about Wolf.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So, because I heard one of the BMF soldiers say, yo, Sosa, this Sosa kid, he said, yo, Wolf was trying to extort or trying to, you know, take something from Puff and everything like that. And Puff was a friend of ours. Where you get that from?
Mm.
For make a conversation like, and that's on one of those YouTube shows. Where you get that from, brother?
Mm.
You understand? Wolf told Puff, yo, I had over 300,000 before I started dealing with you. I just want my money. He was trying to open up a club in Miami.
Mm.
It was up for sale, 123 or 321, something like that, by Lincoln Avenue, something like that. Him and John Sally, brother and them, they was going to open, and another people, they was going to invest and open up a club together. He was trying to get away from dude.
Mm.
You understand? But dude would have conversations with how strong and how he didn't need him because of BMF and what Meech was telling him. But Meech don't even know this. This is conversation they having. So now when Wolf and Meech get into something, okay, Wolf gonna like, yo, listen here. In the back of my mind, he gonna say, all these conversations I had with this dude, Puff, about this dude, so I'm gonna show him right now.
Mm.
I'm gonna show him right now.
Rest in peace, Wolf, man.
Yeah.
Also, you know, his daughter didn't know certain things, and I put y'all in contact also,
yeah.
Wolf's daughter, because I thought it was good for y'all to have a conversation. So hopefully everything with that situation is cordial. And she realizes that you don't just talk about her father for views or anything. That was your friend.
Yeah.
That was your partner.
Well, first of all, listen here. I was Wolf parole officer.
Oh, wow.
And I was Lil Wolf parole officer. And I've been to their house and their mother house and everything like that.
Wow.
You understand what I'm saying? So when he got off parole, we became, you know, close and cool. And, you know, I told you what he asked of me.
Yeah, to do for her. Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? What he asked of me.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And I wouldn't have had that information.
If it wasn't true.
If it wasn't true, because yeah. I wouldn't have known nothing about it.
Got you.
You get it?
Got you.
See, that's what happens is that if you have certain information, you have to know something about something. Somebody had to tell you something. I wouldn't have known that situation if her father wouldn't have came to me.
Yeah. See what, and I want the people to know, again, when you first came out and was saying some of this stuff, I was like, but then when I started doing my research of some of the things you were saying, I didn't take it off face value at first. I started listening and doing research. I'm like, okay, yeah, that didn't make no sense. That didn't make no sense. I was like, yo, he telling the fucking truth. But to me, growing up in that neighborhood, because you know I grew up, all of them, we all from the same hood. I'm like, yo, it's somebody who know the truth, and you know the truth. Why doesn't the world know the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Because people deserve to know. And it's not even to down anybody. Like you said, it's not against one man.
Right.
It's just the fact that, yo, somebody lost their life and got taken out of this world, and it's like a big cover-up, a big lie.
Right.
That's going on, and it's just, let's just move on with our life.
It starts with one person, and that was me.
Yeah.
You understand? Like, I couldn't die or leave this earth and have all the information that I had and not share it with somebody. And maybe somebody else will pick it up and say, yo, listen to me. Let me look into this. Maybe it'll be on Lil C's heart one day and say, yeah, Gene did come to the car and told us. I went to Puff first. Mm. Puff said I ain't have to go. If I'm your only gunman, I'm the only person, why would you tell me I don't have to go to this Peterson Museum?
So do you think he knew they was coming?
He knew they was coming, but I don't think he really knew who they could have fooled that he was going to get. He probably noticed somebody say, they told him something about, somebody from Bad Boy got to die tonight, y'all.
And he also said that to you. You said on one of your tapes that he don't care who die.
He said that. He said that, his exact words. And listen, nobody believed me until my man who was right there came on my show on phone and said, mm-hmm. said the same thing. Puff said, I don't care if Pac gotta die. I don't care if Big gotta die. Suge Knight can go to jail, all I care. I'm tired of living my life like this. Something gotta change. Now, he heard that from somebody. Mm. Me being an investigator, me being an educator, me being around in the streets, you understand? You can't tell me he didn't get that from somebody. Who told him that? Mm. Pac gotta die. Big gotta die. We gonna send Suge Knight to jail. Who told you that? Because you repeated it as you had heard it from somebody. And because of the incident and you ran that night, you was feeling it.
And sadly, it all came to fruition.
All came to fruition.
So, Gene, yo, man, I want to thank you for coming through. Let's plug your YouTube. Tell me your YouTube one more again.
Oh, man, it's the Gene Deal Show, Cooking and Conversation. We do the Uncle Gene segment where I tell you my thoughts about life in different situations. Like just today, Doggy Diamonds came to the world and he said that he had apologized to me,
mm-hmm.
Based on what he had thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we all, you know, everybody have the right to think what they want to think. But sometimes we need to not just look at the cover of the book, pick it up and read it.
That face value, exactly. And that's what I said. I took things for face value. But then when I started doing investigation, I'm like, if he lying, somebody say he lying. Nobody said he was lying. I'm like, this is too big for everybody to just be like, something ain't right.
They're going to start saying I'm lying. You know why?
Why?
Because it's going to grow.
Oh, no, we growing with this, right?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's going to get big.
Yeah.
You understand? Then they're going to have to make questions on it. Then they're going to have to make me seem like a liar. They're going to have to make me seem like a bum.
Crazy stuff like that.
You understand?
The old drunk uncle.
The Rolex ain't real.
You know what I'm saying?
The Aerie ain't real. You understand?
Yeah.
You know, all that. You know, get out of here.
Got you. I earned
and I worked for everything I got, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so I want to thank you for coming through. Shout out to MREC. MREC TV is his YouTube. Gene Deal Show with Gene Deal. The book, you started it? Did you start
it? Started it, man. Me and my man, he's a great writer. He does movies. This is his first book.
But your story ain't over, though. So what's going to be the timeline?
What do you mean? Like, I'm talking about up until, the story's going to be.
Memoirs type thing?
Yeah, just up until after Big's death, and then I know it's some other things that happened because I was there, and we ain't speak on it, but I was there when 50 came to my house to get a vest the week before they killed him.
The real 50 Cent. Got you.
You know, Curtis Jackson came to my house before they shot him up, tried to kill him.
Because you was cool with Chaz, right? Because Chaz was managing him at the time?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know,
you've been in the loop.
I've been in the loop, bro.
Damn. So 50 knew they was coming for him?
He knew.
Damn. He knew who was coming for him?
He knew where it was coming from.
Got you.
He didn't know exactly who would be to try to be the trigger man.
Got you.
You understand? But he knew where it was coming from.
So you didn't give him the vest then?
Oh, I gave him the vest cover. He had the vest.
Oh, you know, you had the pads. Yeah.
I think they were a little too big for him because I was a 2X at the time and he was extra large.
Got you.
I said, yo, you can get somebody to, you know.
Yeah, you better tie this up, do something with
him. Do something with him, word.
Got you. What's your relationship with 50 now?
I don't have a relationship with him at all. You know, I seen 50 when I was bodyguarding Scott Storch.
Got you.
And he was doing Candy Shop and some other song that Scott was doing for him. We was in Dre's studio in California. And we had a sit down. We just talked for a minute. He said, yo, Gene, I couldn't try to decide who was on who team. Because he knew I was Team Chaz.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But I'm my own man.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I went to 50 when I felt a certain way that things was going to go down like it was going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
I had love for 50 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So I tried to let him know, and I was calling. He wasn't picking up. Then he called me and said he needed a vest. He came, and I told him when he came. I said, yo, man, you got to watch out for yourself. These cats coming at you, Bowser. He said, yo, I got it.
So you basically warned him.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You understand? So then my stepson was with me at the time when we was having that conversation. So my whole thing about it was is that he was telling me, Gene, I couldn't decide, you know, who was on who team, who was this and who was that. So I left everybody alone.
Because he also blamed Chaz for having something to do with it, right?
Right, got right. He said, I left everybody alone.
Got you.
And I told him, I said, yeah, I hear you, brother, but I'm always my own man.
Got you.
You understand? And it's going to be in the book how that dialogue and that conversation went, you know, to get us to that point.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? Because I think it was something that was real deep.
Give him your social media, too.
Just Big Gene underscore 52.
Okay.
Five Deuce.
I'm about to say five that. Deuce. Yeah, you're about to say
Big Gene underscore 5 Deuce.
So you're on YouTube?
My YouTube.
Instagram.
Instagram. Man, I really don't know how to do that stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yo, listen to me. Like, this new. Listen to me, man. People don't understand that I lost more money coming out and speaking on this stuff than I ever gained or ever get.
But you gained a peace of mind on
it. Listen, a lot of these people on social media, on my YouTube channel, they help me with mine because I'm not going to sit up in front of nobody and telling my story, you know, like on no couch like that.
But some
people on social media be like, yo, Gene, whoop de whoop, blase this. And I listen and say, all right, cool, that's good. And it's helpful.
It's therapeutic.
And like you said, it's therapeutical. But you get those, like you just said, your man said, you get those other cats that's, you know, come at you crazy and everything like that. And all you want to do is, yo, come on, let's get on the elevator and go to the 10th floor.
Nobody want to do that. Everybody just want to talk because they got a mouth. But, yo, I'm Doggy Diamonds. We had Gene Dill here. Make sure you follow him on Instagram. Also, his YouTube will be in the description box. Make sure you follow him. I got to go there one day and get me some food. I really just eat a bunch of vegetables and stuff like that, but I'm pretty sure he could scale some vegetables and stuff like that. And this is Doggy Diamonds TV. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube, Doggy Diamonds TV. Also, you hit the bell to get the notifications. Also, I'm on radio.com with the podcast, the audio version of the show. So if you just want to hear the audio, you don't have time to watch the video, the full audio, go to radio.com, download the free app. It's in your stores, your mobile device stores. Download that. Look for Doggy Diamonds, No Filter. You'll get that. Also, if you're just on iTunes, get that also. I'm Doggy Diamonds. We out of here. Until next time. Peace.
All right. I got to get the fuck out of here. Thank you for listening to Doggy Diamonds No Filter podcast. If you like this podcast, make sure you share this. Spread the word. Talk about it. Argue with me. I don't give a fuck what you do. Leave a comment. This is Doggy Diamonds. I'm out of here. See you on the next podcast. Peace. Doggy Diamonds did this.